Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast with me, Monty Ward. My guest today is Mario Napolini. Mario's winery is called Napolini, and he is based in Montefalco in Umbria in central Italy. Mario, welcome.
Thank you. Okay, welcome to you.
Let's just start with a very easy question. Give me a little bit about the history of the Napolini winery. Did you found it?
My mother.
What's your mother called?
Clara.
And your dad?
Matteo.
So when did they found the winery?
In 1950, about. But the history of the farm was also the last century, also becoming from my grandmother also.
Really? And were they from Umbria, or did they migrate here from another part of Italy?
No, from Montefalco. From the city, yes.
So very historic. Montefalco family.
Yes.
So when did you start managing the estate?
I am also winemaker. I've been studying agriculture and also I do the wine. So after the study, I studied in Conegliano.
Conegliano is in the north of Italy, in the Veneto?
Conegliano-Veneto, Treviso. Close to Venice.
That's Prosecco territory for anybody that doesn't know the area.
Yeah, the capital of Prosecco. In 1983, I started to bottling, to give it to the farm a modern way.
So before, did you sell your grapes or did they go to a cooperative?
No, not really. My father started to selling the wine and by big tank, 20 liters, family market anyway, in Umbria, in Rome.
Okay, so when you came here, what did you change? Did you change the way the wine was made, or is it simply a case of you bottling the wine and trying to develop the local market and export markets? What was your plan? What was your strategy?
I started to invest before on grapes, because they have a great potentiality. I mean, the soil, the land, the Sagrantino, Sangiovese, and also the Grechetto. I started with the grapes. Then I started.
So you started planting more vineyards?
More, and the quality.
So did you take away some of the existing vineyards? What did your family have planted before you took over?
Yeah, Sangiovese and Sagrantino already. But I think planting the plant of grapes more in 1 hectare.
About so high density 4, planting, yeah.
4,000 plants a hectare. And in a way to work with a tractor in a way, fast in a way, modern way.
To mechanise.
Mechanise, yes.
So you must have seen a lot of changes in Montefalco, a lot of changes in terms of new arrivals. There's been a real boom for the Sagrantino di Montefalco recently, a lot of new wineries coming in, being established. How do you feel about the new generation? Does that help give Sagrantino an international presence? Because when you started, there weren't many wineries bottling wine, were there?
No, because in the beginning it was only 7, 8, 10. So my farm is historic. It's in one of the beginning already 30, 35 years ago. No, the new in the beginning it was a little bit surprise, but the way the economy is going on, so and anyway, they give it more international. Probably it's better to win in the world, to this market so big. It's better maybe have some big farm.
So my sense is you're a little bit of a traditionalist.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So to you, what are the key traditions in the Montefalco region, not just for the Sagrantino red, but also for white wines made from native grapes such as Grechetto and Trebbiano Spoletino? What for you is a good traditional strategy?
Yes, of course, because we know each other for this kind of wine. The area, the wine is this, Sagrantino, Rosso, Grechetto, and Trebbiano Spoletino.
Have you changed your winemaking over the years for Sagrantino? Obviously, it's traditionally was known as a very tannic, tough red wine. How would you describe your wine styles for Sagrantino? Do you make a very traditional, very tannic wine, or do you try and make something that's a little bit soft, a bit easier to drink?
But since the beginning, my Sagrantino it was sweet, in a way, soft, in a way, in this way. So not really tannic. Usually I have 1 gram, 2 grams of sugar, less. And also I use the refrigerator, and the wood is French wood. So the tannin is not so aggressive.
Let's just go back. You're using French, you're aging your Sagrantino in French barriques?
No, also Slavonia. Also big barrel of from Slavonia. That means 25 hectares.
25 hectares, which holds about the equivalent of 3,000 bottles per vat.
Yeah, yes.
In the vineyard, what are you doing to try and help tame the tannins of Sagrantino to make the tannins easier to extract and make a wine that's a little bit softer and easier to drink? What are you doing?
They are not so tall from the soil, so this is important. One is 80 centimeter from the... This is helping a little bit, and they are quite close, the plant.
So are you quite unusual having low vines? Do most people have vines that are a little bit higher?
No, you are looking for someone like the French way. The plants is so, or also Spain, they have so
low to the ground.
This is a good way to for the mechanisms, sure, and the quality also.
Normally, how high would a vine be, a Sagrantino vine, be in Montefalco? Does your vineyard look different to the other vineyards?
In the beginning with my father, was the Sagrantino was so high. This was married with a tree.
Oh, it's promiscuous culture, so vines growing up trees.
It was okay. Quite nice. Also, quite nice also have in front of the house for the shed or for... But now the way is like the other. Yeah.
So it's kind of like French system.
French system, yes.
Okay, so what about your white wine?
White wine is a Grighetto. It's called Clara because the farm, the field is coming from my mother. Clara is my name. It's the old name of Chiara. Chiara, Clara. It's Grighetto of Todi, the genetic.
Okay.
So the skin is quite
thick.
Yes.
So what color? So when the Grighetto di Todi gets ripe, what color is the skin? Does it stay green or does it go a little bit yellow?
Yellow.
Yeah.
It's a little bit bitter in the end.
A little bit bitter.
Bitter, yes.
But when the wine is made, so if it's a bit bitter, how do you press the grapes? Do you have to press them very softly or do you press them quite hard?
No, softly, yes. I make two wines. The first two is Grighetto, really, the second is going for another way in the white wine.
Okay, so when you say in another way, what do you mean? You make two, so you have Grighetto and you make two different Grighettos?
No, one in one Grighetto, the best, and one is a white, I call Bianco del Monte. It's EGT.
Okay, mountain EGT. White, Bianco del Monte.
Yeah,
okay.
Bianco del Monte. Yeah.
Is that 100% Grighetto then?
No, also Trebbiano.
Okay, Trebbiano sure. Spoletino, Trebbiano Toscano.
Toscano, also okay. A bit Spoletino, but Toscano, the cheapest wine.
So what are the typical flavours of Grighetto from your vineyard in Umbria?
I can say the fruit, the taste of fruit.
In Italiano?
Pera, può essere anche.
Pear?
Sì, mela, sì.
Apple? Ma è mela rossa o mela verde?
Verde.
So green apple rather than red apple?
Green apple,
yeah. Okay. I'm putting you on the spot here with all these questions. And what are the typical flavours of... you make a Trebbiano Spoletino as well?
No, I'm planting. It's too young now.
Okay, so what are the typical flavours of the Sagrantino red?
Fruit of sottobosco, fruit of...
So forest fruits?
Yes, and cherry.
Cherry. Red or black?
The selvatic, I mean from the forest.
Okay, wild cherries. It's more romantic, isn't it, wild cherries? you're not going to say supermarket cherries, you're going to say, okay, this has to be wild cherries.
No, it's quite interesting. They remind a lot something complex, quite complex. You
know? If I come to your winery and we have dinner, what dish would you give me for the Grighetto?
Grighetto, it's in a way, have a lot of extract, so it's possible to also meat or rabbit or something meat white.
A white meat.
Also, fish, can be soup.
But when you say soup, like a vegetable soup or like a very thick soup, like a bean soup?
Beans.
Risotto?
Risotto, excellent.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Good, I got a job. And for the Sagrantino, what is a good dish for the Sagrantino?
Strong meat. I mean,
when you say strong,
pork,
you mean like...
Pork, yes.
Or wild boar?
Cinghiale, Stracotto. Oh, anyway, it's also a lot of persons like with cheese.
With cheese.
To meditation in front of the fire. Pecorino.
Sheep's cheese. You use milk. Hey, you're smiling. Have you had breakfast this morning? Let's talk about food. So in terms of international markets, I mean, for the promotion of Sagrantino, there has been a big interest in Sagrantino recently. More and more Sagrantino wineries are appearing. Do you think there's a danger that Sagrantino will become a bit like Brunello? Very high prices, people just coming here to make money rather than respect local tradition? Or are you optimistic? Do you think that having more people coming into the region is a good thing? Non è una trappola, just your
yeah, yes. No, I imagine No, in the area is growing up very really fast. Also see the tourism, also the people, the restaurant is come. I think in the future can be the follow the way of the big red wine, Italian red wine, Amarone, Brunello,
Nebbiolo,
Barolo, sì.
Barbaresco.
Probably in 10 years, be fine, because it's too young, the area.
Still too young. So you think Montefalco is still developing a style?
That can be, yes. It's possible, we have to study it a bit. Probably they have the collaboration with the university. They are introducing also the refrigeration, the grapes also.
For the Sagrantino or for the Grichetto?
The Sagrantino. It becomes much more soft.
Really?
Yes.
So how does that work? Is that like cryo maceration? How cold do they chill? So basically you harvest the Sagrantino grapes.
Yes.
You bring them to the wine.
Cellar.
You chill them.
No, they wait one night for the grapes. And then... Then you
freeze them.
Yes, then the extract is quite soft. The right. Tannin is
much
changed a lot.
Yeah. So they cryo-macerate the grapes, freeze them, and then what happens? Are they pressed? Are they crushed?
Yes.
And then they go in the tank cold, and then the tank is warmed when they start fermenting?
No, they wait 1 or 2 days before starting the fermentation.
It's frozen. The grapes are frozen for 2 days?
Yes.
And then they go into the tank and they ferment normally?
Then
have you used cryo-maceration or not?
Just a little part, not all.
And what do you think? You think it's positive?
Yeah, a lot, yes.
Really?
It's a little bit expensive, yes.
Yeah, of course. What energy?
Energy, yes. Yeah.
So what is the difference in taste between a Sagrantino that's picked and de-stemmed, crushed and fermented, and a Sagrantino that's picked, frozen for 2 days, and then de-stemmed and crushed and fermented? What is the difference in taste? If I gave you two glasses, cryo-macerated Sagrantino and non-cryo-macerated Sagrantino, can you spot the difference?
Yeah, the difference. The wine is it's ready in short time in a way, and it's
softer.
Soft, yes. It's not so aggressive. The tannin is sometimes in the mouth is too aggressive.
Too aggressive.
So it's just one way to have. In modern wine.
Do you think that will be the future then for Sagrantino? Does everybody think that's a good idea, or do some people who are more traditionalist here say, no, we don't want to cryomacerate, we are quite happy with the traditional style?
Mm.
Do you think it will be a popular technique?
Anyway, any farm have a different way. Probably the family farm, they still have, probably it's better to have the traditional wine. Mm. So they sell the family, the imagine, the land.
Ah yeah, who's Tiziano Scattini? So this is Azienda Agricola Napolini, which is obviously you.
Yeah.
Di Tiziana. Is Tiziana your wife?
My wife, Tiziana.
Is she from Umbria then?
From Perugia. She's from the city. You have got six child.
Okay.
So it's a family farm. She's helping me. We do all the things together.
Okay. So she's from, she's a Peru, as you say, Perugina?
Perugina, from Perugia.
And obviously you're a Montefalcone or?
Montefalchese.
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 Okay. So did you meet at the university?
No. She's in Montefalco. There is we have a museum, nice museum of San Francisco.
St. Francis of Assisi, yeah.
It's the church. It's okay. In Montefalco. I meet there. She's been working there in a cooperative.
So do you have children who will take over the estate?
One.
And is he a boy or a girl?
Boy, 21.
Oh, so he's getting ready to take over?
Yes.
Does he want to do that or does he want to do another career?
No, he likes.
And what is your biggest market for your wines?
Germany, Europe in a way. Also Denmark, Switzerland, Austria, England also, USA. Also Japan.
But can people come to your winery and buy direct?
Yes.
Do you have a good tourism business then?
Yes, especially in the summer.
And so the tourists, they come from anywhere? Are they mainly from Europe, or are they from farther afield, say Japan or America or Canada?
But usually they come from Europe, from Belgium, Denmark. Anyway, they can buy and carry the wine by car.
Sure.
The American, they have to fly.
So when they come, have most people already tried Sagrantino, or they've just come to Montefalco, come to Umbria as tourists, and they, hang on, we're in this place called Montefalco, it looks like they make red wine, let's go and try some? Or do they have a lot of knowledge when they come and they can talk to you about the wines? Are they just tourists, or are they wine experts, wine lovers?
And the wine lovers, also some friends are, how do you say, they know by word of
mouth.
Yes. Oh, probably they find in some restaurant in Umbria, and they want, they recognize, they remember the name, and then they come. They want the same wine they drink the night before.
So the restaurants that you work with in Umbria, are they mainly cooking classic Umbrian food, or do you have like a new wave of modernist restaurants here that are cooking dishes that maybe are more international?
No, traditional, usually. The pasta fatta in casa.
It's a homemade pasta.
Truffle and pork, the classic. Almost truffle, also. In Umbria, Perugia, Gubbio, Città di Castello.
So when you say with truffles, is it with... what dishes here with truffle added would... are popular? Is it, are you just talking about like a pasta dish with a little bit of truffle grated on the top, or are you talking about more truffly dishes? What are the classic truffle dishes here that go well with your wine?
Classic is strangozzo. Strangozzo is
strangozzo.
Kind of pasta without eggs. In the past was a poor food because the eggs was expensive. A bit.
La cucina povera, they call it.
La cucina povera, like beans.
So that's pasta with no egg, so it's just flour and oil.
It's look like strangozzo is classic, Samuel look like a spaghetti. It's a long.
Long, quite thin spaghetti with a hole in, yeah?
Sì.
Okay, so is it the one that's cut in half?
Yes. And anyway...
That's made just with... so basically you make that, you put some flour on a board. Then you add some olive oil.
Yes.
And then you mix them together.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yes.
And a bit of salt, maybe.
Anyway, some restaurant they use one egg. One really small.
One, just to help it.
Just to help it
bind.
Before then, the truffle with butter. You talk about usually the
black truffles,
because it's a little bit less expensive. Mm-hmm. The summer, we call the summer truffle, because they are different truffle. One in February, January, February is expensive black. The other is in summer, also black, a bit cheaper. Also, they smell a little bit less, but it's okay.
Do you go truffling?
I know some friends who work in the business.
What are they called? Tartufai? What are they called?
Tartufai.
Tartufai. Are they quite old? We when I think of truffle hunters, I always think of old men with grey hair.
With their dogs.
And with their dogs.
And dogs, yes.
Is that true? Do you have any? Do women go truffle hunting? I don't think I've ever seen a woman in Italy go truffle hunting. Maybe I'm not looking in the right place, but quite a man thing, isn't it, truffle hunting?
They usually never see, because they wake up really early in the morning for...
Where they're waking up. What about hunting? I mean, do you go hunting as well?
No.
But you're not vegetarian, though, are you?
No.
Okay. All right. No, I just was just wondering. Okay.
Glad that I'm off my job.
You're happy with your job?
Yes, because I meet many people, and the wine likes, and so it's a way to have many friends.
Right. Okay.
And all over the world.
Right. Okay. That's the wine business, though, isn't it? I mean, everybody.
One good way.
It's a real international business. Yeah. Okay. I want to just say thanks to Mario Napolini of the Napolini Winery in Montefalco. We've probably talked a little bit more about food than we have about wine, but that's okay. Very nice to meet you. I look forward to trying your cryo-macerated Montefalco. That sounds quite interesting.
I'll give a present bottle for you.
Yeah, well, just one. That's okay. I just want to say thank you to Mario Napolini of the Napolini Winery in Montefalco in Umbria. Thanks for coming on the Italian Wine Podcast.
Okay, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.